How long did it take for this agreement to come together?
It didn't take all that long. We had set up a process, which we discussed in advance with the interested parties as to how we were going to do this process, and they came in. We outlined what we thought the World Cup is going to look like structurally, the type of teams, what the schedule will look like, where we're going to play it, and then they came in and made a pitch as to what their plans would be and what they thought it was worth.
What was the most difficult part of this World Cup?
I hate telling people or organizations that you didn't come out on top of a process, that, you know, we appreciated the interest, we value our relationship with you, and we're going to go in another direction. I'm sorry, but this is what we in the Players Association, decided we had to do, and we move on. But those are always difficult calls to make when somebody's disappointed. You know, it's interesting because whenever you have a major negotiation and you feel good that you did well, you've always got to deal with the people, the organizations that didn't make it as good a job as they may have done and as much as you may have liked them.
Gary, you've been the commissioner since the early 90s.
You've noticed.
Yes, I have, since the first strike. But
it's a strike. You see that?
Strike.
Exactly right.
Strike. I got it. You've been around long enough.
Wait a minute. Let's pause there for a second, because you made a little fun of that, and that always is an issue. Can we agree that the league has never been healthier?
Yes.
And the competitive balance, the game has never been better?
Never been better,
You need a system that works, and sometimes it's hard to get what you need.
Yeah, and we don't have to talk about it for how many more years?
Oh, a bunch. But you raised it.
The reason why I raised it was because you've been around long enough to understand international hockey with the NHL.
Yep.
So we had the summit in 72.
Yep.
And then we went into a Canada Cup situation, and then we turned it into a World Cup. What's your overall feeling on where it started and how we kind of lost it a little bit and how it's back now?
That's a great question.
What is your overall feeling on where we had it right, where we went wrong, and how we're trying to fix it now in 2016?
It's important on a whole host of levels. For example, this World Cup will have 150 of the best players in the world competing. It will make for fantastic hockey. The international competitions, whether it's Canada Cup or World Cup, or even the decision to go to the Olympics, that's a decision that we make jointly with the Players Association. And as the Players Association either, you know, went through internal turmoil or wasn't in a place with us where we were getting a lot of things done, resulting in some disharmony at points and times, it wasn't possible for us to align the ducks to get this right. Coupled with the fact that if you go back 15 years or so ago, the stability of the league, the health of the franchises, the health of the game in North America was something that we had to tend to. As we just discussed, the game has never been healthier, stronger, franchises never stronger, the game never better. And we now have a strong union under Don Fehr so that we have a partner that we can work with. You know, people tend to think we like a weak union in disarray. To the contrary, having a strong union with leadership, good, strong leadership with vision, gives us the ability to work together and make things happen. The World Cup is but another example of that.
Let's talk about the format of it a bit. And Don, or Mr. Collins, had presented to us, what the makeup might be like. Obviously, I like the major powers involved.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the concept of the young kids. I think it's a great idea. And great talent.
Do you want to coach that team, Mac?
No. And
you remember how to do that?
But I'm... Yeah. You never forget that.
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure.
Especially tells people every day how to do it.
So. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you have to.
But anyway, go ahead.
I'm not sure I like the... I understand the challenge of the other countries, and eventually it'll become to a qualifying type situation, mm-hmm. which I really like. How is that working?
You're talking about the pan-European team absent the Big Four.
Right.
The theory behind that and the Young Stars team is if you look at the first six teams, the drop-off to teams 7 and 8, right, no matter who they might be, at this point in time is so dramatic. We felt that this would be more inclusive of the star NHL players and give us a more competitive tournament. This may not be the format forever, but now we've got a team, the eighth team, if you want to call that, the Pan-European team. That team will have a great collection of players, most of whom wouldn't have had an opportunity to participate if we had just picked two countries. And again, the fall off from 6 to 7 and 8 would have been so great. This will ensure a better tournament. There won't be any easy or bad games.
Does the young guns and possibly the success of it, could that lead up to still participating in the Olympics and still having your World Cup?
We've been saying this from the outset, and the good news is we keep saying it, we mean it. The World Cup has nothing to do with the Olympic decision. That's not something we've gotten to yet, something at some point we're going to have to work on. And we'll go to the Olympics or not based on whether or not collectively we think it's a good decision, taking into account all the variables. And I know people think that I'm negative on the Olympics from the outset simply because I point out the problems. It is a balancing act. There are great things about going to the Olympics, and there are difficult things about going to the Olympics. And when you weigh the good and the bad, one of the factors is where the Olympics are going to be and what kind of impact that will have and how it relates to what we do in North America. We will get to that decision, but the World Cup doesn't impact that decision. We'll do that decision based on the merits of going to the
NHL Olympics. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman is with us in studio on Hockey Central, at the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, NHL Network in the United States, with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. You mentioned the Young Guns, and that will be cooperated between USA Hockey and Hockey Canada, and they'll put that team together. What about this European All-Star team? Who runs it? Who takes the lead on that?
Well, we're going to have to supervise it, but we're going to work with the various federations to put in a management team in place that we in the Players Association are comfortable with, and you know, piece it together. Not unlike, a little more difficult, getting USA Hockey and Hockey Canada to cooperate on the Young Stars team, although interestingly enough, that may have been trickier, but they've embraced it because they also have their own teams. Mm-hmm. The more everybody involved thinks about the format, it's a little non-traditional on the 7th and 8th teams, but I think people are excited about it because when you focus ahead to the tournament in roughly a year and a half, the hockey is going to be unbelievable.
So the TV rights in Canada were a no-brainer, I guess.
Great decision.
Yeah, great decision.
Oh, we had multiple interests.
But I dare say that the process was a process due to what happened with the U.S. rights.
I don't understand. Both countries had processes.
Yes. Right.
And there were various issues that came into play. In both cases, the good news is we had multiple interested parties. We had broadcasters with great skill and resources that wanted the property.
Yeah.
And we had to, together, we and the Players Association.
NBC is a partner of the National Hockey League. That couldn't have been easy to tell them.
They're not
part of the World Cup.
Good translation. I understand. I understand.
Yeah. Kipper's
was it that
subtitles.
Complicated a question?
You kind of got lost in the delivery.
We got there. NBC is a great partner. This is no knock on them whatsoever. When we and they looked at the landscape, their scheduling commitments, it was a better fit at that time of the year for us to go with ESPN. And frankly, having an opportunity to get ESPN a little more interested isn't a bad thing. They're going to help promote the start of our season, which will be on NBC. ESPN will. And I know if you take a quick snapshot, you go, well, they're going to spend 2 weeks on ESPN. As I said, they're going to help promote and get interest for the start of our season, which will be on NBC, obviously. But if you look at the sports landscape for the Big Four, three of the Big Four on multiple platforms in the United States, we're the ones with exclusivity on our regular season and playoffs. So in terms of the overall relationship, I think NBC was fine with this, and I think it's a good opportunity for us in ESPN to, you know, keep each other in our consciousness.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about friction over the years between ESPN, and I was in the league when they were a big part of it, and then it just kind of fell off. And is that accurate?
It wasn't so much friction. I think it's more a question that at some important points in time, we and ESPN may have had a difference of opinion on the importance and value of NHL hockey. And NBC, and before that Comcast with OLN and Versus, which then became NBC Sportsnet, had a much different view of what we were and what we would become. And we couldn't be more pleased, more grateful with the way that NBC has stepped up continuously and how they treat us on an ongoing basis.
You know, the World Junior is a great tournament. And, you know, I go back to your original thoughts on drop-offs and how it can really hurt tournaments at key times and lack of interest till it really gets to, till it means something. What does this two-week tournament, what do you think what's your real goal? I mean, build a game, but it's a two-week tournament. It's the best players in the world. Is there any downside to this? To me, it's the consummate positive.
We agree, which is why we're doing it. There's another element, and I should have mentioned this before, and you guys know it. Our players love representing their countries. They grow up, even before the World Juniors, going through international competition, the best players, and this is something that's important to them. The fact that we can control the event, that we have complete access to everything that goes on in the event, that it's played at a time of year that makes sense for us, it's all good. It eliminates, again, not to rekindle the Olympic debate, but it eliminates some of the problems that we have when we take a break for 2.5 weeks in the middle of the season.
I do want to get an update on your thoughts on what's happening in Vegas, but the unique part about the World Cup of Hockey in 2016, as opposed to the World Juniors or World Championships, is this is one venue and one venue only.
Yeah. Well, that again, since we were bringing it back, anticipating your question, we wanted an event that could just set a foundation for the future that is solid as it could be. So this is an opportunity to dominate a city, whether or not it's on the heels of the film festival, whether or not we do some, you know, Taste of Toronto, we do concerts. This is going to be a big event with lots of things going on to celebrate our game during the two-week period.
Perfect for fans, to come in, plan a two-week
vacation. Exactly, that's the whole point. Perfect. And so while we may do other things, whether or not it's qualification or multiple venues, to reestablish the event, what better than to put it in a really big, important city that's focused on hockey? Some people say the center of the hockey universe.
If you say it that way, who sets the ticket prices? And do you go on the average NHL ticket price, or do you tap into the Toronto Maple Leaf
ticket price? We're going to set the ticket prices, and we'll take a look at what we think makes sense. You know, the beauty of the secondary market is it gives you a pretty good indication whether or not you're charging too much or too little. If we put all the tickets on the market and they're all getting marked up in the secondary market, then we price them too cheaply. So whenever you're looking at ticket prices and suggesting a team's ticket prices are too high, if they're being sold for more on the secondary market, they're not too high.
Vegas.
Well, I was just going to say, though, that the danger, though, is gouging, right? I mean, we've seen it at the World Junior level where people are used to a Junior A ticket and then finding out that over $100. Are you worried about that?
Everything we do and the way we've structured this, and even with Team 7 and 8, is designed to ensure that every game is sold out. And ticket pricing smartly is going to be part of that. And there's going to be, but by the way, as part of the ticket pricing, we know there's going to be huge demand.
NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman is with us in studio. Donald Fehr, the NHLPA Executive Director, will also stop by. We're giving you each 22 minutes.
Wow.
Right down the line.
You guys are so politically correct. It's overwhelming.
Well, some were saying that we were too politically correct the other day that you were controlling. But trade deadline day has come and passed. I never. Yeah. No, it was. Yeah. We had a great show the other day, and part of that speculation when you've got 10.5 hours is where you guys are going as a league franchise wise, whether it's relocation or expansion. But
you spent time on the trade deadline doing that.
Very little.
It was a slow day.
Very little.
If I had the sound on, I would have called and yelled.
Very little. But Las Vegas is doing this ticket drive.
Yes.
You've loaned your support to a certain extent.
We've let them do it.
Use the shield. And
okay.
Are you happy with the response?
We'll see. I mean, you know, people are suggesting, I think, what are they, 3 weeks in? I don't even have the most accurate count. This is not like Winnipeg.
Where it was 3 minutes.
Where they had a team, they had a season ticket list from the AHL team, and the team was guaranteed. Here it is. Do you want your tickets? This is a little different. You know, we're trying to explore, says the prospective owner in Las Vegas, whether or not there's enough interest here. And people are being asked to commit, including put up a deposit, on the basis of demonstrating interest, not knowing if a team's ever going to come.
So when do you make an opinion?
Well, when they think they're done with the drive, one way or the other. If they're still doing the drive in September, my guess is it's not going to make it. No. And so we'll find out, my guess is, over the next few weeks.
Originally, back to the Columbus expansion in Minnesota, it was 12,000 season tickets sold. Yes. was a criteria.
Yeah.
Is that a fluctuating situation?
We haven't set the criteria. Yeah. I think if you're not looking at double digits, there is a little different again because the franchise was granted subject to. Right. This is an exploration of interest. What they're really trying to do is see if there's enough of a fan base of real people who live there for a major league sports team. That's really what this comes down to, because could they sell out the building to the casinos? Probably, but that's not what's going to sustain a team for the long term. So this is really, in effect, a grassroots initiative to see if enough people who live and work there and are citizens of Las Vegas really are interested in having professional sports.
Do you have a legitimate some major concerns about going into Vegas? I mean, there's a reason nobody's been there. Obviously, the building is part of it.
There's a building coming out of the ground as we speak. I dealt with
the IHL team when they were there. There was some issues. There was some issues with players.
Are we talking support or lifestyle in Vegas?
I'm concerned about putting a franchise in Vegas.
Lifestyle.
But is it a concern over whether or not it will be supported, or concern about the players being there?
I would say both.
Well, we're going to find out from the season ticket drive whether or not there's support. So move that to the side. Either there is or there isn't.
Right.
As it relates to the players, I believe that in this day and age, with our players and how professional they are, and even for the youngsters, whether or not it's the rookie orientation program or what our behavioral health counselors do with the clubs annually or a security department, and the way that our players are the consummate professionals, people will handle themselves appropriately if they go there. And by the way, I have no doubt that on a regular basis in the off season, and maybe even during brief breaks during our season, that our players, like so many millions of other people, go to Las Vegas to have fun periodically.
Let me ask you, if the NHL was able to get to where the NFL is with legalized gambling, would you be okay with that?
Well, the NFL is not in support of legalized gambling.
Well, you can go into a casino and lay a bet.
You can do that on us too.
You can do it on hockey too.
You can do it on hockey
but
too.
But would you like to? Would you like to see it generate the interest of the fans
in that
capacity?
I don't think our game lends itself to betting the way that basketball and football do, which is kind of why we're tangential to the whole debate about legalized betting. I know, you know, Adam Silver in basketball is talking a lot about it. That's because betting's a much bigger deal on football and basketball. Baseball and hockey, because of scoring and the way it is, not so much in terms of betting. We're a very small percent of the take, even of the legal take. So, you know, I think we're a tangential discussion to that whole thing. Do I worry about our players fixing games? No. My concern, if there's a concern at all, is about players as role models and what his game and team sports represent and the atmosphere in the building. You want people not like at a racetrack rooting for the horse, being disappointed. You want people rooting for their team to win the great competitions that we put on every night.
Have to put a bow
on
this.
Not to line their jeans all the time, Mac. Like,
have to put a bow on this, but when does Mr. Foley want to start play if he gets a team?
We haven't gotten to that discussion yet. And but I think from his standpoint, if this all works, you know, and the building will be done in within the year, the sooner the better. But that's not a discussion that we've had yet.
And where would the team come from?
It will. It would be, if we're doing this, I envision it would be an expansion team. I know there's a lot of speculation. We don't have any teams that are moving. Our franchises, in terms of their current status and their ownership, are the healthiest they've ever been.
So you'd expand by one or two?
You know, there's no expansion process. Okay. We're listening to interest. We haven't made any decisions. We're letting somebody explore whether or not there's enough interest in Vegas, because if Mr. Foley finds that there isn't enough interest, he'll stop the expenditure of time, money, and effort, and we don't, and none of the other leagues have to worry about Vegas.
First World Cup in the new go-around will be 2016 in Toronto. Maybe the second one will be in Vegas. Who knows by then? But
or it could be in Europe. It could be there anywhere. The point. That's why I said the foundation will be laid, and then we'll figure it out.
I'm liking this more and more.
We don't have to have all the
answers. You're invited.
You're going to be in studio if it's in Europe, trust me.
2 week vacation.
We don't have to resolve every issue today. What we want to do is create a great foundation for reestablishing what should be a wonderful event.